Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Yes. Welcome to The Healing School. This is Dr. Valeria Avery, and we are so happy that you have joined us here today. The Healing School is here to teach people the will of God concerning healing and to teach people how to receive their healing according to the Word of God. I'm so happy that you have joined us today. Let's pray. Father, we praise you and we thank you and we magnify your name. For you alone art God, and above you there is none else. We decree and declare that your word is true. We thank you for your anointing resting upon us, for your word is already anointed. And we thank you for your anointing resting upon us as we speak forth your word with boldness and accuracy. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise, we give you honor, we give you glory. We do bind the enemy from hindering the word from going forth or from the word being received. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, on the last session, we began the Healing School with some foundational information that you must have and understand in order to know what God's will is concerning healing. And we went all the way back to the beginning where God spoke the creation into existence. And then he declared that he was going to make man in his image. And Genesis 1:26 says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and then let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. God declared and spoke into existence, creation. And he made man in his image. And let me tell you, God is not sick, and he does not have sickness. In fact, that last verse down there in Genesis 1 said that God saw that everything was good. And so, it's Genesis 1:31, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, not just good, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So sickness does not make one very good. Sickness brings death to a person if it's not cured. And so God didn't scratch his head after man fell. We know that's the reason why sickness came into the earth was because of Adam's sin. And we taught on that. We're not going to reteach that today, but we want to set the pace and have get your mind on how sickness came in. Sickness did not come in because of God. God did not bring sickness. Jesus did not bring sickness. In fact, over in John 10:10, Jesus declared, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He said, but I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Abundant life has no sickness. In fact, Jesus came so that we can walk in divine health. We want to have that foundational understanding that sickness did not come through God. Sickness and all of the corruption that has come in the earth today came as a result of man's fall, Adam's fall. But, see, Adam came and he fell and brought all of this in on every man born from that point on. But then, oh glory to God, God sent a Savior. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, is that Savior that came into the world, lived for a period of time, a sinless life, and he took upon himself all of the sin and sickness and disease and corruption and all of that. Jesus took that, and he gave us life, hallelujah, gave us the means to choose life. God says over in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20, God points out, he said, here it is, because man fell, yes, there is sickness and disease in the earth, but choose life, choose God's way, choose Jesus, and live. He said, I set before you life and death. You see, if you go over here and follow the world, that is death. But if you come over to me, if you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that brings your life. Not just your life, but so that you and your children. See, it is so important that we understand this. Those of you who are parents, the life that you live also passes on to your children, unless somewhere down the line your children find out about Jesus and give their lives over to him. But the life that you live as a parent affects your children. And so it behooves us to follow God so that we might have life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So that's very foundation for you to understand that, yes, man was created without sickness and disease. Everything was very good. He had food to eat. He had all of his needs met by God. He was in relationship with God. He communed with God. But after the fall, when he sinned, the disconnect came. Man was then disconnected from God. And the only way that you can be connected back to God and the things of God is by receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, it is by faith that you enter into this grace. Hallelujah. The Bible says over in Hebrews 11:6, those that come to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So as you come to God, you have to believe that there is a God. See, so many people try to get people to think, well, you know, God is dead. He's not there because of all the things that they see happening in the world. But see, those things came about because of the fall. But God has made a way, hallelujah, for us to live above that. And Jesus is that way. Hallelujah. So that's kind of a summary of what we taught in the last session. So let's look further, you know, at this, because Jesus had been promised, but we had to get to that and get to, you know, how we were placed back in right standing. And so then we find Abraham, who is the father of faith. Abraham is the father of faith. And see, it is by faith, that only by faith, that we can enter into this grace where divine health and divine healing is. It's only by faith that we can appropriate, and that word appropriate means to draw in, to reach out and grab. It means to draw in, reaching in to receive, appropriate, reaching in to receive. You receive something, or you receive something that is you don't have at that moment, but you can reach out. You can bring it in. You can create, appropriate, make it available to you. It's made available to you through faith. Through faith. Right standing. And see, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. So if you do not receive Jesus as your Lord, you are out there with the world, still have a dead spirit. You are a dead man walking until you receive Jesus and receive a new spirit and become a new creature, a new person. And so that comes through salvation. That comes through receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Then the Holy Spirit can come in and create a new spirit within you and bury that old spirit, that old dead spirit that has no connection with God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So then, let's begin reading in, as we get started here, just to show how Abraham is an example of how God wants us to receive Jesus and receive this new life that can walk in the divine help of God, this new life that takes us above the ugly stuff that is in the world today, this new life by faith, see, by faith we appropriate. Glory to God. By faith we enter into this grace. Hallelujah. So let's look at Abraham, who was saved by faith. Not by following the law, but saved by faith. Not being having a physical circumcision at the time he was saved, but by faith in a true and living God. And I'm going to read the Amplified Bible as we read down through this. It says, "But if so, what shall we say about Abraham, our forefather? Humanly speaking, what did he find out? How does this affect his position, and what was gained by him?" You know, what is this all about? What did Abraham gain by having faith in God? For if Abraham was justified, established, and just by acquittal from guilt, by good works that he did, then he has grounds for boasting, but not before God. See, this grace is a gift. It's only by faith that you believe in this true and living God. It's not by any works that you can do. Once you're saved, you're going to do good works, but those good works do not save you. Salvation is a gift by faith in the true and living God. So it says, and let me just pause here. Why is it there is so much emphasis on this faith? See, this faith, you know, brings us into this grace that puts us back in connection and in right standing with God, just like Adam was before he fell. And see, all of the needs of Adam were met at that time. There was no sickness, no disease. So it is in this grace, this gift of salvation, of believing in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, puts us back into right standing with God, puts us back into the position to receive by faith divine health in our physical body. So that's why we must get this understanding. We must get this revelation of this grace, hallelujah, by faith, hallelujah, that places us in right standing with God, that places us in Christ Jesus, glory to God. At this position in Christ Jesus, Hallelujah. The Bible tells us we are seated in heaven and places in Christ Jesus. Then we can rule and reign on this earth. Oh, glory to God. According to the kingdom dictates and the kingdom rules of God Almighty, not of the rules and dictates of the world. Hallelujah. Let's go back and finish reading. But to understand this, and it's my prayer that the Spirit of God will give you revelation of his word as we decree and declare his word today. So then, for what does the scripture say? Abraham believed in, trusted in God, and it was credited to his account as righteousness, right living, and right standing with God. See, because he believed in, trusted in God. God began to speak to Abraham, and he just believed God. He believed him. Hallelujah. He trusted in a living God. Hallelujah. Now to a laborer, his wages are not counted as a favor or a gift, but as an obligation, something owed to him. See, man was dead in sin. And we had done nothing to receive righteousness. Our righteousness was as filthy rags. But when we received Jesus, glory to God, that cloak of righteousness was placed upon our back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When Abraham believed God by faith, that cloak of righteousness was placed on him. Here it is. But to one who not working by the law, trust, believes fully in him who justifies the ungodly. See, we were ungodly until we were justified by faith. His faith is credited to him as righteousness. Hallelujah. See, that gift, Abraham's faith in God was credited to him by righteousness, the standing acceptable to God. Hallelujah. Thus, David congratulates the man and pronounces a blessing on him to whom God credits righteousness apart from the work he does or apart from the law. It had nothing to do with the law, but had to do with faith in God. Blessed and happy to be envied of those whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered up and completely buried. Now, verse 8, we're reading Romans 4 about Abraham. Verse 8 in Romans 4, blessed and happy to be envied is the person of whose sin the Lord will take no account, nor reckon it against him. Thank you, Jesus. Is this blessing, happiness, then meant only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? We say that faith was credited to Abraham's righteousness. Only faith, not the law. How then was it credited to him? Was it before or after he had been circumcised? It was not after. See, we got to get it. Some people say, well, Abraham was circumcised. No, no, no. He was at a certain point, but not before he received righteousness by faith. He received the righteousness by faith before. He only went through that circumcision because of the Jewish custom, not having to do anything with his faith. How then was it credited to him? Was it before or after he had been circumcised? It was not after, but before he was circumcised. He received the mark of circumcision as a token or an evidence and seal of righteousness, which he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised, faith, so that he was to be made the father of all who truly believe, through without circumcision, and who thus had righteousness, right standing with God, imputed or put upon them, to them, and credited to their account. See, here it is. While we focusing in on this as we're talking about healing, see, healing is made available to us when we have received that gift of righteousness or right standing with God. Healing is the way healing is a part of this covenant. Healing is a part of the package. Healing is a part of the salvation package. See, when we're saved, hallelujah, when Jesus, when we make Jesus our Lord and Savior, when he comes into our heart and that old spirit is buried with Jesus, glory to God, hallelujah, when Jesus was buried, we were buried, hallelujah, glory to God. But Jesus rose up with newness of life, never ever to be separated from God again, hallelujah. He took upon that sin and all of the sickness and all of the disease, and it was buried with him. And he rose to newness of life, hallelujah, without sickness, without disease, without sin. And so, therefore, when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that old nature, that old sin man was buried. That old spirit was buried, hallelujah. And we were raised to newness of life. Now, this is important. This newness of life, hallelujah, this newness of life has to be free of sickness, free of disease. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Thank you, Father. Praise the name of the living God. Praise the name of the living God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We lost contact there for a moment, but I want to come back. When we are raised to newness of life, after we have received Jesus, the old man is buried, and we are raised to newness of life. And that package, that salvation package, that newness of life, that covenant, what's wrapped up in that covenant blessing is our healing. Hallelujah. We have a right, when you're in right standing with God, you have a right to walk in the divine health of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So let's read on. So then, he received the mark of circumcision as a token or as evidence and seal of righteousness, which he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. Faith so that he was to be made the father of all who truly believe through without circumcision, and who thus have righteousness, right standing with God, imputed or put upon them, hallelujah, and credited to their account, as well as that he be made the father of those circumcised persons who are not merely circumcised, but also walk in the way of that faith which our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. In other words, God made it so those folks who are traditionally circumcised, if they walk by faith, if they receive Jesus Christ by faith, they're brought into the family also. But then those of us who are Gentiles, who do not have a custom of being circumcised, if we believe God, if we by faith trust in the true and living God and receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, then we are made righteous. The cloak of righteousness is put upon us, and that right standing with God entitles us to a salvation package, which includes healing, it includes prosperity, it includes all godly things that pertain to life and godliness. That's in that package. Healing is a part of it. So if you belong to God, healing belongs to you. Hallelujah. Let's go on, because, see, Abraham demonstrated something that closely related, or is that's a part of healing, actually. So let's look and read further. Okay, verse 13. The promise to Abraham, or to his posterity, that he should inherit the world, did not come through observing commands of the law, but through righteousness of faith. Verse 14, if it is the adherents of a law who are to be the heirs, then faith is made futile, or empty, or void, or of none effect. Let's just read that again. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be heirs, then faith is made futile, none effect, empty of all meaning, and the promise of God is made void, is annulled, and has no power. For the law results in divine wrath. If you don't keep the law, then wrath. If you're out there trying to keep the law, and you can't keep the whole law, then you open the door for sin and wrath. But where there is no law, there is no transgression of it either. Therefore, inheriting the promise, listen. Therefore, inheriting the promise is the outcome of faith to inherit, to appropriate healing, divine healing, and health for your body. It is by faith. Healing is a promise. It's a part of the salvation package. But it is by faith. It says, therefore, inheriting the promise is the outcome of faith and depends entirely on faith in order that it might be given as an act of grace, unmerited favor, to make it stable and valid and guaranteed to all his descendants. Not only to the devotees and adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham, who is thus the father of us all. Abraham demonstrated, and we're getting ready to look at, this kind of faith that will appropriate your divine health, that will purge out sickness and disease. This example of Abraham is an example of how you walk by faith and obtain the promises of God. The Bible is full of many, many promises, concerning healing. In other words, if you have a challenge in your life, whether it be healing or some other area, there are promises in this Bible that God has given us. And so you use these promises to appropriate, hallelujah, the blessings of God. Again, verse 16, therefore inheriting the promise is the outcome of faith and depends entirely on faith in order that it might be given as an act of grace. Notice the promise, if you by faith receive the promise, then the grace of God will manifest the promises of God in your life. So then, it says, in order that it might be given as an act of grace, unmerited favor, to make it stable and valid and guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the devotees and adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham, who is thus the father of us all. Verse 17, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. God is talking to Abraham. He was appointed our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and speaks of the non-existent things that he had foretold and promised as if they already exist. That's a key point. That's a key point. God is teaching us that. And he did it in the beginning. He spoke of the non-existent things. He spoke life. He spoke the creation. The Bible says in verse 2 of Genesis 1:1, the earth was without form and void. But it says the Spirit of God moved upon the deep. And when God said something, boom, there it was. The creative force of God, the Holy Spirit, the third person of Godhead, was there. And he is here now. Hallelujah. When you receive Jesus, he comes into our spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And all, you are a speaking spirit just like God. Hallelujah. So when you speak the promises of God, when you say by Jesus' stripes, I was healed. When you say, surely he bore my grief and carried my sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and by his stripes I was healed. Glory to God. By Jesus' stripes. See, that's a promise God has given us. And so you appropriate, you reach in. And if you declare what God says in the face of sickness, see, that's what he just said. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. He was appointed our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and speaks of non-existent things that he has foretold and promised. The King James says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believes, even God who quickeneth or makes alive or the dead and calls those things that be not as though they were. That's a principle. That's a point. You must call yourself healed. Yes, the doctor said you got to die, but that's a lie. God said you'll live and not die. God said he sent his word and heals you and delivers you from destruction. Psalms 107:20. Hallelujah. See, that's a promise of God. Now, did he do it or didn't he? God is not a man that he should lie. See, not a son of man that he should repent. God said, I sent my word and healed them and delivered them from destruction. See, when Adam fell, sickness, disease, destruction came into the earth. But God sent Jesus to take all of that upon him so that those who by faith, see, that's the reason why we had to go through this teaching on faith, the faith of Abraham, because he is the father of us all. He's the example that God has given us to follow. And so Abraham called those things. Now let's look and see why we're saying that. He called those things that be not as though they were. See, this is the faith. Faith calls. See, you don't have to have faith if you have whatever it is. If you are sick in your body, the doctor has diagnosed a sickness in your body, well, the Bible tells us, let the sick say, I'm healed. Let the poor say, I'm rich. Let the weak say, I'm strong. See, we got to call those things that we want. Call them. Don't call sickness, because the doctor already told you that's what sickness was in your body. So you got to call divine health. You got to call the healing of God. You got to call on the word of God that says you are healed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Calling those things that be not as though they were. That's a principle that we must follow in order to appropriate, in order to reach out and bring healing in, manifested in our body. See, the enemy is trying to steal something that belongs to you. Healing belongs to you if you're born again. Hallelujah. So the enemy is trying to steal that healing. But we must say no and no and no to that. Glory to God. Again, verse 18, for Abraham, human reason for hope being gone, hope in faith that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been promised, so numberless shall your descendants be. That's what God told him he was going to have. Abraham was almost 100 years old, and so was Sarah. And when God told him he was going to be the father of many nations, and he did not have one child yet. So then he had a choice right there. Am I going to believe God, as old as I am and withered up as I am I going to believe God, or am I going to believe what I see, hear, and feel? Notice, this is important. It says again, for Abraham's reason for hope. He didn't have any reason for hope except for the word of God. You right now may have no reason for hope except for the word of God, because the doctor said you're going to die. But God says you can live. It doesn't matter at what point the sickness is. It does not matter at what point the sickness is. Or it doesn't matter what kind of sickness it is. It could be cancer, it could be lupus, it could be AIDS, it could be any of those things. But it doesn't matter. You can live and not die. The enemy can't kill you unless you just succumb to that. You have to declare what God says in the face, call those things and be not as though they were. Call yourself healed. Speak to your body and say, body, God says you live. I say you live. I reject sickness and disease. I purge it out with the word of God. Jesus took it upon him, therefore I refuse it. See, that's how you reject sickness and disease, by speaking what God says. Speak what God says. Call those things that be not as though they were. Hallelujah. For Abraham's human reason for hope, being gone, hoped in faith that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been promised. So numberless shall your descendants be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered the utter impotence of his own body. He didn't let his body talk to him. He let the word of God talk to him. See, you can't let your body talk to him. Yes, there's pain, but God says you're healed. So what are you going to say? Oh, I'm so sick. Are you going to say, oh, I am healed by the stripes of Jesus? You might be crying. It's okay. But just cry. Thank God I'm healed. Let the tears flow, but thank God I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. I praise you, Father, that I am healed. Call those things that be not as though they were. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Abraham did not weaken in faith when he considered the utter impotence of his own body, which was as good as dead, because he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's dead womb. Sarah had never had a child, and here she is about 102. So, there are many things in the sense realm screaming at both of them. But God had said, I have made you the father of many nations. He took him out there at the seashore and said, see the sand on the sea? You won't have this many children. And here he had never had one. So you know, the sense realm was screaming at him. But he chose to believe God. God says today, I have set before you blessings, and you see the curses are out here in the earth. Choose life so that you and your children might live. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Verse 20, no unbelief or distrust made him or Abraham waver. So, see, you've got to dispel the unbelief. You got to stop looking at the physical and look at the spiritual. Look at the word of God. Keep your eyes fixed on the word of God. Keep the word of God coming out of your mouth. Hallelujah. The word of God is a seed that we plant, and it will produce every time. It is an incorruptible seed, hallelujah. It will frame your life, glory to God. It will produce fruit in your life, glory to God. It will appropriate, hallelujah, the blessings of God, the healing that you need for your body, hallelujah. No unbelief or distrust made him waver, doubtingly question concerning the promise of God. See, how many times those who are attacking their body because there's a pain, God, have you healed me? They've already prayed the prayer. The Bible says when you pray the prayer of faith, you believe at that moment that you have received. Now, of course, there could be pain in your body. But at that moment, you still got to believe that you have received. And you got to let it come out of your mouth. Father, I believe that I have received my healing. Hallelujah. And don't let pain or don't let something that you see cause doubt to come in. The word is true in him. And so you have to cleave unto that word. Glory to God. Glory to God. No unbelief or distrust made Abraham waver, doubtingly questioned by, doubtingly questioned. He was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God. So once you pray that prayer of faith, your job is to praise and thank God that it is done. Praise and thank God that it is done. Thank you, Lord. By Jesus Christ, I am healed. And so I'm just going to rest in that, God. I'm going to praise and thank you. I'm going to magnify your name. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Verse 21, fully satisfied and assured that God was able and mighty to keep his word and to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was credited to him as righteousness, right standing with God. But the words, it was credited to him, were written not for his sake alone. Listen. But they were written for our sake. See, Abraham is our father. And the blessings of Abraham are ours. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The blessings of Abraham are ours. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Again, we were kind of bumped off. I apologize for that. I'm not sure just what's going on, some technical difficulty. But again, I'll read that last 20, verse 22. That is why his faith was credited to him as righteousness, right standing with God. But the words it was credited to him were written not for his sake alone, but they were written for our sakes too. Righteousness, right standing, acceptable to God, will be granted and credit to us also who believe in, trust in, adhere to, and rely on God, who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. Hallelujah. Isn't that outstanding? Abraham is our example. He is our father, and the scriptures tell us over in Galatians 3:13-14, curses everyone that hangeth upon the tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. In fact, let's go over there and read Galatians 3:13-14. Galatians 3:13-14. Christ has redeemed us. Jesus, see, through his death, burial, and resurrection, he redeemed us. He redeemed us from sickness and disease. He redeemed us from the curse. See, the curse came in, remember, because of the fall of Adam. Jesus Christ, through his death, burial, and resurrection, let's read these verses. I'm reading King James, Galatians 3:13-14. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, curses everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The Amplified reads like this: Christ purchased our freedom, redeeming us from the curse, the doom of the law. Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. And its condemnation by himself, becoming a curse for us. Jesus, oh glory to God, thank you, Jesus. He took upon him the curse. For it is written, curses everyone who hangs on a tree, is crucified, to the end that through their receiving Christ, receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior is the beginning of how to come to God and receive that new spirit and receive the covenant blessing. See, that entitles you to receive the covenant blessing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 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 Hallelujah. Again, Christ purchased our freedom, redeeming us from the curse, the doom of the law, and its condemnation, by himself becoming a curse for us. For it is written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, is crucified, to the end that through their receiving Christ Jesus, the blessing, the promises to Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, that's us, so that we through faith might all receive the realization of the promise of the Holy Spirit. And then over in verse 29 of Galatians 3, it says, brings it home, it says, if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The Amplified reads, and if you belong to Christ, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, I've made Jesus my Lord, that's a beginning point. Got to make Jesus your Lord. And if you belong to Christ, are in him who is Abraham's seed, then you are Abraham's offspring and spiritual heirs to the promise. Hallelujah. Over in Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 14 are the promises of God. And God has promised us long life. He's promised us health. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We've redeemed, and actually verse 15 through the end of that chapter lists curses. And it talks about every sickness that's written in the book and those to come. Jesus Christ took that. So you don't have to bear that. So you need to reject that and declare that by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. Say, by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. Glory to God. God sent his word and he healed past tense me and delivered me from destruction. You have to remember the example, the instruction, You call those things that be not as though they were. You might say, but I'm lying. Well, that you're not lying if you're declaring God's word. God's word is truth. It is the truth. It's true and the truth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So then, you know, we're talking about receiving supernatural healing God's way as we're here understanding and getting the foundational principles that teach us that healing belongs to us. And see, you, when you go back to the beginning and see how God created man was not sick. And so then when man disobeyed God, then sickness came into the earth along with other corruption and all the evil things that we see today. But God made a way through Jesus for us to live above the curse. And so through faith in Jesus Christ, through faith in what was accomplished with the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, glory to God, glory to God, hallelujah. So then, how do we, you know, move from how do we appropriate? What is it that we do? And we've given you basic instructions here. You got to call, first of all, you have got to find the scriptures that promise health and healing. And there are so many, many, many. I mean, I've got a bunch just written down here that really promises. These are promises that you find in your Bible. You need to go through the Bible and write down these promises and begin to declare them. And why are you going to declare them? You're calling those things that be not as though they were. And see, you have to use God's word. You can't use anybody else's word because nobody else's word has healing power in it. But the word of God is alive. See, this word is alive. This word is Jesus. The woman with the issue of blood, she wants to just touch the hem of his garment. Well, Jesus is not walking on the earth today, but God sent his word. This word, the Bible, hallelujah, is Jesus. In fact, over in the Gospel of John, first chapter, and let's just look at that right quick, the Gospel of John, first chapter here. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Amplified says, in the beginning, before all times, was the Word, Christ, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God himself. See, Jesus Christ is God. In fact, God poured himself in an earthen vessel. And we went through that. We can't reteach that. But Mary, the mother of Jesus, became pregnant by the Holy Spirit implanting the word in her. She did not become pregnant with a sperm from a man. So then, you see, because the bloodline of man is passed to the children. And because of the sin of Adam, his blood was tainted. And so every person born after Adam, you have a dead spirit. But Jesus, see, when we receive Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes in and gives us a new spirit. But see, Jesus was impregnated not by man. I mean, Mary was impregnated not by man, but by the Spirit of God. And so Jesus had pure blood. It was only, there was no other person that God could use. Nobody had pure blood. Jesus had pure blood. And that blood of Jesus is what paid the price, glory to God, for to redeem us from the corruption, from the curse of the law. Oh, glory to God. It's so wonderful when you just look into the Word and see what God, how much God loved us. And then, of course, down in verse 14, we're still in the Gospel of John. Verse 14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace." The Amplified said, "And the Word, Christ, became flesh." Human incarnate. In other words, God poured himself in an earthen vessel. And we actually saw his glory, his honor, his majesty, such glory as an only begotten Son receives from the Father, full of grace, favor, loving kindness, and truth. Hallelujah, 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 glory to God. So then, this word of God, surely he, over in the Isaiah 53:4-5 says, "Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Another verse, Psalms 103:1-5. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all of thine iniquities, who heals all." How many? All of thy diseases. So therefore, you know, we need to go to the Word and find these promises and begin to speak them over our physical body. Find these promises and then pray that prayer and believe when you pray. That's Mark 11:24. It says, "What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them." But notice it says, "When you pray, believe." See, you, Abraham believed God when he looked old, and when he had not had any children, and Sarah had not had any children, and God said, I have made you the father of many nations. He believed God. He trusted God. You see, and he didn't waver. See, the Bible says over in James, a double-minded man will not receive anything from God. So Abraham did not waver in unbelief. He made a decision, and that's what we have to do today. Make a decision to trust the Word of God. Make a decision that I'm going to believe God. I hear what the doctor say, but I choose to believe God. The Word says in Psalms 118:17, "I shall not die but live and declare the works of God." So if the doctor tells you that you're going to die and there's nothing that he can do about it, you make a decision. Who are you going to believe? The doctor, or are you going to believe God that says, "I shall not die but live and declare the works of Almighty God"? Are you going to believe God that says, "I sent my word and I heal past tense you"? Are you going to believe the doctor that says you got to die? It's a choice that you have to make. It's a choice. When you pray that prayer of faith based on the word of God, "Father, you know, I come to you in the name of Jesus." Hallelujah. Your word says, "By Jesus Christ, I am healed." Your word says you sent your word and healed me and delivered me from destruction. Therefore, I will stand on your word. I choose your word. The doctor saying these things, I reject that in the name of Jesus, and I stand upon your word. I declare that I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. I declare that you sent your word and you healed the past tense me and delivered me from destruction. I'm going to declare your word. Hallelujah. I'm going to lift my voice and declare your word. I'm going to look at your word. Hallelujah. Over in Proverbs, it's Proverbs 4:20, starting at verse 20, it says, my son, attend unto my word. Incline thine ear to my saying. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Now, that's what the word of God says. That's a promise. He says, attend. How do you attend to the word? Well, you find the word that talks about healing. God sent his word and healed me. Surely he has borne my griefs and carried my sorrows. Yet we didn't esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. And with his stripes I am healed. Healed. I am healed. I am healed. That's what the word of God says. I choose to believe the word of God. So I'm going to continue. God changed Abraham's name so that he could say continuously, I am the father of many nations. Abraham means I am the father of many nations. His name was Abram at first, but God changed his name to Abraham. And so he went about saying, it's important in the saying, it's important in your saying that by Jesus' stripes you are healed. That's important. And so you continue to say, we'll talk more in depth about confession as we continue in the healing school. But I hope that we have built a solid foundation here, going from the beginning, as we are still looking at foundational principles that I want you to go back and study. Go back and meditate on the scriptures here. Meditate on Romans 4, and meditate on the scriptures. Find all the scriptures that have to do with healing. Go to your concordance. Your concordance and look at healing. Look at all the scriptures that have healing in it and health in it, and write those down. Write those down. And see, the Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, some people might say, well, Jesus was healing back in the day, but, I don't know whether he'll heal now or not. He's not changed. The Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then in Malachi 3:6, God is speaking. He says, I am the Lord. I change not. So he doesn't change. Jesus went about doing good. Matthew 9:35 says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. See, this is what we should be operating in now, the gospel of the kingdom, and healing sickness and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Not just us, every sickness and every disease among the people. So there's not a sickness or disease that you're confronted with that Jesus has not healed. You see, he took it. He took it. Jesus took it. Those 39 stripes upon his back, he took sickness and disease. And so, therefore, you don't have to bear them. So when the enemy knocks at your door, when the doctor tells you, you got to die, just say, no, I refuse to. I receive the word of God, and so in my life. The word of God is so in my life. The word of God is so in my life. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you thanksgiving. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, we had begun to give you other principles, but I'm going to close out now. Hallelujah. We have gone about an hour here, and we don't see any callers on the line. So we're going to see you tomorrow as we continue our healing school. Please let the folks know that we're here, 6 o'clock in the morning, and we are open for you to call in and ask questions or comment concerning the message that you hear. It is our prayer that people will be touched through these messages. God bless you, and I will see you tomorrow as we continue with Healing School.